is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is Peace Through Christ's Kingdom. An understanding of the Bible's teaching of the resurrection of the dead reveals the true love of God for all men. Pages of history are stained with the blood of war. No generation in all human experience has been free from the curse of war. The people long for peace, they work for peace, and pray for peace. But still, there is no peace. Today, universal and lasting peace seems more remote than ever. Must we abandon the hope for peace? But first, this Bible Answers program is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine in cooperation with local Bible study groups, and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Ed, my first question, will there ever be peace on earth?
The only dependable answer to your question, will there ever be peace on earth, is the one so clearly and definitely set forth in the Bible. And that answer, of course, is yes. In God's own due time and way, peace will come to humanity.
But as you know, noble men and women have been working for peace for a long time. Yet today, the warlike elements of human society are still able to keep the world filled with fear. I know that the Bible promises peace. But those promises were made a long time ago. However, today the whole human race is threatened with destruction. Many people today say that it is naive to place our confidence in the promises of the Bible.
Russell, may I read from a little book published by our association entitled Peace Through Christ's Kingdom?
Yes, of course you may.
And I quote, "The prophets of the Bible, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, foretold a time of lasting peace, explaining that would come about through the establishment of a world government that would arbitrarily impose upon the people of all nations just and righteous laws, through the keeping of which universal and lasting peace would be imposed." Unquote. I feel that this is a fair statement of what the Bible teaches with respect to the prospects of an enduring peace for all mankind.
But hasn't it always been the belief of the Christian world that the followers of Jesus must pitch in and do all they can to at least steer the nations in the right direction, with the thought that thus the Bible's promises of peace on earth will be fulfilled? That statement you read seems to take the whole matter right out of the hands of men, even Christian men, with the implication that divine power will intervene in human affairs and impose a just peace upon the people of all nations. Is that what you really have in mind?
Yes, it is. In the Bible's assurance of this coming time of peace under world government, the assurance is given that there will be no miscarriage of the divine plan because the kingdom of promise is to be a literal and powerful government, perfectly organized and powerfully implemented to perform every function assigned to it in the prophecies. It is the kingdom of Christ, and the kingdom of Christ, the Bible reveals, is a genuine government. Concerning this kingdom and Christ, the chief ruler in it, the prophet foretold in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end.
I realize, Ed, that the prophecy you have just quoted is very wonderful. And like the angel's message to the shepherds on the night Jesus was born, it is kept very prominently before the people, especially during the Christmas season. But as you know, more than 19 centuries have passed since Jesus was born, and here we are, threatened with destruction by missiles and tanks and planes. The point I wish to make is that the vast majority of professed Christian people today have another way of explaining the kingdom promises of the Bible. And so far, the literal interpretation of these promises hasn't panned out.
In which case, if we view the matter strictly from the standpoint of results so far, the results are most disappointing. For as you reminded me a moment ago, after more than 19 centuries, the whole world stands in danger of destruction by modern war machines.
True, but at least the followers of Jesus are doing the best they can, don't you think?
Which is not good enough to stem the tide of human selfishness. And this brings us back to what I believe the Bible clearly teaches, which is that the kingdom of Christ is an actual government which is to be established in the earth through the intervention of divine power, and that a successful operation will not depend upon the feeble efforts of fallen man.
Very well. I must admit that you have shown that the kingdom promised in the Bible is much more than a righteous influence in the hearts of individuals, and thanks for that. You also have shown that the promised king in the worldwide kingdom of promise appeared among men nearly 2,000 years ago. And that, Ed, brings us back right to where we started. More than 19 centuries is a long time. Yet even now there is no evidence of that wonderful kingdom which you say was to be established by Christ. Are we just going in circles, as it would appear?
Not at all, Russell. You see, what may seem to be a long time to us is but a short time with the Lord. Through his prophets, God first began to make promises concerning a coming kingdom of righteousness thousands of years before Jesus came. The people back in those ages might well have asked, and many of them probably did, why so much time was passing before God fulfilled his promises. Of course, God had a very good reason for this, but the people didn't understand.
All right. But the promised king did come. Why has his kingdom not come?
Well, for the simple reason that after the king came, there was a very important preparatory work to be accomplished, a program that has taken all the centuries since the first advent of Jesus to accomplish.
And what has that work been?
Well, first of all, there was the sacrificial work of Jesus as the nation's redeemer. You see, God's plan for a government of peace and righteousness to rule over the people envisioned living subjects in the kingdom, not dying ones. All the great conquerors in human history have attained their power and authority by having their subjects die for them, but with Jesus it is different. First of all, he died for his future subjects, to show his love for them, certainly, but even more importantly, to redeem them from death. For this reason, before the 1,000 years of Christ's kingdom has completed its work, not only will peace be established among all the peoples of the earth, but between God and man also. The original penalty of death, which was passed upon our first parents, and through them upon all mankind, will be set aside. The living will be restored to health, and the dead awakened from the sleep of death, that they also may enter into the joys of the kingdom of Christ.
I see your point, and that being true, the long centuries of waiting for the kingdom have not resulted in any actual loss to the people, for in any case, all will be restored to life to enjoy its blessings. Ed, are we to understand that there has been further work of preparation for the kingdom since Jesus died?
Oh, yes, there's been the work of selection from mankind, of those willing to follow Jesus, that they might live and reign with him in his kingdom. Russell, that little book I quoted from in the beginning, Peace Through Christ's Kingdom, examines all these points in detail, and many others too. Will you please tell our listeners more about it?
I will be glad to, Frank. Friends, when the thief requested to be remembered in Christ's kingdom, Jesus replied, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, just what did he mean? In paradise, is paradise to be right here on earth? In the prophecy of Daniel, we read that the kingdom and the greatness of the kingdom will be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Who are these people? And when will they inherit the kingdom of promise? The little book, Peace Through Christ's Kingdom, shows from the Bible that there will be both rulers and subjects in the world government which the Lord has promised. Who will be the rulers? And who will be the subjects of that kingdom? These are but a few of the enlightening points of truth that you will find set forth clearly in the little book, Peace Through Christ's Kingdom. And you are invited to send for your free copy. There is no obligation at all. Simply address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. I'm going to repeat the address for your convenience. It is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Simply ask for the Kingdom Book, and it will be sent to you free, by mail, and without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.